Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be called into relationship with you through your Son, Jesus. What a privilege it is to gather with like-minded believers, to be encouraged, to seek to be taught, but Lord, to seek to grow and replicate disciples that would grow to know you and continue just to seek to expand your reach. Lord, how humbling it is that you would choose to use us. You, as the all-knowing, all-powerful, amazing God of the universe, could get your message across seemingly so many more effective ways. And yet you have ordained to use frail human beings empowered by your Holy Spirit to represent you here on earth. Lord, would you use your word in our lives this morning to challenge us to do that more effectively, more sincerely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thirty years ago, I was packing boxes and suitcases for a move about 2,000 miles for my first trip east of the Mississippi, for my first time I would remember flying on a plane, going to a college I had never walked on the campus of. All I was told is it's in the middle of cornfields. But it was a Christian college where you'd get a good business degree, as well as you'd come away with a Bible minor, and lots of missionaries had gone there. In my teen years, as God had been working to call me to full-time service, I felt that God was leading me towards the mission field as a business administrator, and that Cedarville would be the best training ground for that. To be able to be trained in business, but then also to be well-grounded theologically. God set me in motion. I had been raised in a church with all kinds of Navy guys from the Philippines, Nicaragua, from around the world, different guys that back then could earn their citizenship by joining the U.S. Navy. And it was a great experience, but also out in the Pacific Northwest, all kinds of nationalities, particularly from Asia. But also our church had a heart for missions. And so we regularly would have missionaries in, and since we lived on the property, I got to spend even extra time with the missionaries and with their families. And we had a family from Peru that we got to see often, and a family from Brazil that we got to see on a regular basis. And after my freshman year of college, I got to go down and spend a month with them in Brazil, and just to see firsthand God's work in another country. God had given me a heartbeat for missions and a willingness to follow wherever he would lead. And so when we finished all of our training, and that the first pastorate invitation that we got was to be the first pastor, full-time pastor of a church in New Mexico, 1,500 miles away from Shannon's family, 1,500 miles away from my family, equally far. What a great place to raise children. Grandma, can you come babysit tonight? Probably not going to happen. But as God had been preparing that we would be willing to leave and forsake the comforts of home and the comforts of family to be able to go to where he had called us. So then when God worked a second time to call us to a church home, to find a church that was already active with a heartbeat for missions, was so encouraging. To have a church that had already lifted their eyes up to see that the fields are white for harvest. We can't focus on just these four walls. We can't just focus on Holland and Sylvania and Springfield. There's a bigger world out there. This message is bigger than just us to keep to ourselves. So we come today to this last message on the functions of the church. And today's is missions. Making disciples to the ends of the earth. making disciples to the ends of the earth. We started out this series in Nehemiah and looking at the process as Nehemiah agonized as he heard the news of the condition that the walls of Jerusalem were in. And as we have, over the last few years, to agonize, God, what is it that you have for us? Where are we in this process of what you're calling us to be and to do? Nehemiah addressed God, and we've had very special times of prayer, and we even had a special Sunday school series on Fresh Encounter of what it is to pour out our hearts to God and to address him and to seek his face and his guidance. But then also assessment, as Nehemiah walked around the city and took count of what the situation was. And we've been doing that assessment on Wednesday nights primarily in focus groups to give some assessment of what is it the Scripture says a church should be, and then as we begin to turn the page, how are we doing at that? But then also action. And action will happen this fall, but also into the first part of next year as we look at these functions and what is it that God asks us to be as a New Testament church, and how are we doing at it? We've covered forward, discipleship, and teaching, that we're commanded to carry those out as a local assembly of a body. Upward, prayer and worship, and what does that mean in the New Testament sense? What a privilege it is that we get to pray and to worship because the indwelling Holy Spirit prompts that and brings things to mind and moves within our heart in ways that the Old Testament believers didn't have. But then individually, but also collectively as we come together. But then inward, that we are to care about what happens in these four walls, within those that are in these four walls, but not just when we're within the four walls. We're supposed to care for all and seek to fellowship throughout the week and to care for a body, the body of believers, that we genuinely want to know how we could come alongside to encourage, to strengthen, but then also to disciple. But then outward, evangelism, to share the good news. We're all commanded to evangelize. We're all commanded to share the good news. Now, some are really good at it. Some seem to have a gift of evangelism. But we're all supposed to be ready to give an account for the reason of the hope that was within us, that we can boldly proclaim that Jesus is my Savior. He solved my sin problem, and he's restored me to a relationship with the Almighty, the Father, the God of the universe. Missions, we're not all commanded to necessarily leave the comforts of home. But as a body, we have commands and directions. We have an example that has been given to us. What is the church's mission? We may never reference this ever again, right? You'll never see these verses ever again. Matthew 28, have you seen them too often? Hopefully you have them memorized. All authority, Jesus speaking to his disciples moments before his feet were going to leave the earth, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now I'm transferring some of it to you. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Make followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Why do we do what we do? This is what the Great Commission, what we are called to do as New Testament believers, to be a part of this. As you are going, the command is not go. The command is make disciples. As you are going, make disciples. Make disciples of just Jewish, good Jewish, righteous people? No, make disciples of all nations. And so for the first time, as he's helping his disciples to look up, this is much bigger. This is much bigger than the Jewish nation. This is beyond, for all nations. And he gives those other instructions that we have looked at in the previous weeks. Given at the same time, in Acts chapter 1, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. These disciples, good Jewish young men who had followed after him and had been walking with him for 3 years, they had recognized him as the Messiah, and they had had in their mind that the Messiah would take over, kick Rome out, and Israel would begin a kingdom in Israel, that he would rule and reign from Israel. Some of them had signed on with more ambition than others, that they would get to reign on his right hand or his left. Some of them were maybe power thirsty. And so they're saying, okay, we got through the crucifixion part. Now you've been raised from the dead. Okay, now do we get to go in and kick the Romans out? When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he says, it's not for you to know the time or the seasons. The Father has fixed that by his own authority. He will reestablish the kingdom for Israel in his good time. He will. So in the meantime, you will receive power, not to establish the kingdom. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. You will be witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You're going to receive power. You're not going to do this on your own. You're not going to do it through human ingenuity. You're going to do it as the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the Holy Spirit will give you the power and the authority to carry it out. And you will be witnesses. You'll be testifiers of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, so the immediate region and city. Judea, their state or country. Samaria, the surrounding area, which was also then cross-cultural. They were a mixed race, Jewish, but also mixed. And then the ends of the earth. I want you to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to be witnesses there first in Jerusalem. Then you need to spread out. That took persecution for them to leave the comforts of Jerusalem. And then out to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What is our Jerusalem, our Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth? And how exciting it is that this church has set in motion several years ago to already have a burden for each of these areas. In Jerusalem, we support Camp Barakal, and we take campers up to Camp Barakal. Kids from Holland, Sylvania, this area, that go up and find out about the good news of Jesus Christ. Mosaic Ministries and Baby U, the first session of Baby U is this coming Saturday. Next week, David will be here, and he's going to fill you in on some of the dramatic things that God is doing through Mosaic Ministries down in South Toledo that reaches South Toledo and our area. Children's Outreach, the Tracys, and schools throughout the Toledo area that begin to evangelize children, but not just to evangelize them, but to begin to disciple them and see if they can to plug them in to local churches. FCA is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Matt Yeager is in charge of that, and his wife has started Keep Watch. They're in colleges, they're in high schools, but Keep Watch is also in the grade schools and a prayer ministry, reaching again to share the good news, but then also to disciple and see how they can plug them in to local assemblies. Okay, there we go. Next, we have the Toledo Gospel Rescue Mission. Now it reaches some people that end up from our area, but also Toledo, but also you notice that the end goes into Samaria. Those are some of the people from Michigan that end up in the rescue mission. But the rescue mission doing a great job, again, of sharing the good news, not just evangelizing, but then to seeking to disciple and to help them get established in a local church. Water for Ishmael, people that have come from around the world to our area. And again, this Thursday night, to be able to see what God might do through that ministry in this new facility. And Conversation Partners, and I noticed that you're here with us today. If you'd like to be a Conversation Partner, seek her out after the service. And how you can get connected with international students who are here in Toledo. And you get the chance to share the good news with them. Many of them are going to go back home to the ends of the earth. Transport for Christ. Truckers, by the way, your chaplain was missing when I went to visit Transport for Christ this week. He had checked out. But Transform for Christ is a chapel over on the east side. Truckers that pass through our community. Truckers are in a lot of ways a different culture, right, Peter? And sometimes we don't pick up conversations unless it's intentional. But Transform for Christ and wonderful work that they are doing. Jews for Jesus, both here in the U.S., but also internationally. Crew Renee Keller writing great materials for women here in the U.S., but also internationally. And it's being translated, and she travels around the world. Josh Heaston, God just keeps on expanding his reach. God started him here in Toledo in the YMCAs of putting the C back in YMCA, and God just keeps on opening it. He's in Indianapolis, but now he's also in the U.S. office some, and God just keeps on opening it. He's impacting internationally as well. We have Vision for Christ, Radio Africa, Tim Taylor and Jean that are doing that, and again, reaching into Africa to the ends of the earth. The Hansons in Thailand training pastors to replicate not just disciples, but to replicate assemblies that would be like-minded New Testament churches. Advancing Native Missions, and Kareem here today as well. And in November 13th, write it down in your calendar, we're going to have Dan Reichert here, and you're going to get to hear about how we could influence another country, North Korea. And some really, really exciting things that God is already doing. And that'll be on November 13th. Barb Lane in Cameroon helping the translation of Bibles in her part, but also Elam. And you guys have given so generously that we have 1,500 New Testaments going into Iran this year because of your generosity. Those, they say, will probably be read by about 15,000. The news tells us Iran is hopeless. Iran hates us. The people of Iran, God loves the people of Iran, and God is not done reaching into Iran. And Elam is a wonderful partner for us to be able to reach, not again just to share the good news, but they're making disciples, and they're seeking to plug those disciples into like-minded New Testament churches. What is it to be a missionary? And sound booth, I'll give you authority from here on out, okay? A missionary, a sent messenger. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Isn't that the blessed hope? In simple, trusting faith, confess with your mouth, I am a sinner in need of saving. I believe, I trust that Jesus died in my place and that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. Vast difference from the religions of the world. Vast difference from the Christian religions around the world. The simple gospel. That when we come to God, recognizing our sinfulness, recognizing what he did for us, and sending his perfect son to die in our place, in simple trusting faith. That's all. That's all. You don't have to attend this. You don't have to go through this. You don't have to go through this religious exercise. This and this and this and this. And hope that you might be saved. You will be saved. In simple trusting faith. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. He's taken the shame that our sins deserved. He took the guilt that my sin deserved. He took the punishment that my sins deserved. He took it on, and in simple trusting faith, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. This isn't just for the Jewish nation. This is also for the whole world. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing on his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jew, Greek, barbarian, it doesn't matter where you came from, who you were raised by. In simple trusting faith, you can call on the name of the Lord and know for certain that when you breathe your last, you will wake up in heaven for eternity. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. How can they believe in whom they have not heard? Yes, God has all kinds of creative ways of getting the good news out. Right now with Radio Africa, with Elam, of electronic and digital communication, that the good news is getting to places that people cannot go. But overall, he has ordained that we leave the comforts of home and we send out those that can proclaim the good news. How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Unless they are sent. That God would use frail human beings to communicate such a precious, perfect message. And we can only do it. It's in our frailness that we realize we can't do it. We can't do it adequately. We can't do it justice. It's only by the indwelling Holy Spirit that we can understand it, that as he illumines our mind, that we can read about it, and as the indwelling Holy Spirit then empowers us to also then to proclaim it, but also to give us insight, to come alongside. Who is it that we're supposed to share it with? How can we share it with them and share it with them more effectively? How can we have our conversations, we'll see, seasoned with salt? So a missionary is a sent out one. A sent out one. A sent messenger. The first missionaries in Acts 13. If you want to turn to Acts 13. In the life of the early church, in chapter 13, verse 1, now there were in the church at Antioch, a local church, Antioch, this is the Antioch in Syria, in modern day Syria. Now there were in the church Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod, and Saul, and while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. You have a local church assembly. The Holy Spirit is moving. While they are gathering, while they are busy doing the other functions of a local assembly, worshiping together, teaching, discipling, making disciples, while they're together and busy about what God has called them to be doing, the Holy Spirit says, now I want you to set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then in verse 3, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down and they sailed and they arrived and they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. Some key points here. This is a local assembly called by the Holy Spirit to set apart Paul and Barnabas. The local assembly fasts and prays about it. They take some time to fast and pray about it. The local assembly lays their hands on Paul and Barnabas and sends them off. But then how is it represented? Being sent out by the Holy Spirit. We, as in a local assembly, are called to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's an individual call, as we saw in 1 Corinthians, it's individual, but it's also collective. We're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be so united and seeking the mind of Christ together that we're responsive to the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit guides and directs, that we trust and we pray and we seek God's face, who is it that you would have? Now, thankfully, the Holy Spirit also works in the individuals. He was preparing Paul and Barnabas for this. It wasn't like, you know what, the elders have met, and we voted that I think, you know, God's calling you to Africa. God might prompt the elders that way, but we would trust that the Holy Spirit is also working in the individual. When I went to college, and as a mission emphasis, it was part of my major, and we'd meet with different mission organizations, and back then, they would not even talk to you if you hadn't also talked to your local church. Because sometimes college students go to college, they hear these speakers, they get all excited, and they're thrilled, and they're going to go change the world for Christ, and they've never checked in with their local assembly. Last time they were at their local assembly, they weren't living for the Lord. They weren't having any interest in the things of the Lord. And now they're going to go change the world? And so mission agencies knew how important that this was, that the local church be involved, praying and seeking the face of the Lord, and in His time and in His way saying, yes, this is what God is calling us to, and we see those fruits and gifts in your life, that you're already busy about the work of the Lord here in our assembly, and we also sense that call. And laying on of hands is a commissioning, saying, we're going to give you our authority and blessing, and we're going to send you out. I was absolutely stunned to be involved in the process of someone being called to the field and hearing them say, our agency says, skip the local church. It's not worth the time. They're too slow. People, we might be slow, but we're called to be an integral part of this process. If God is calling you to something beyond the local church, to be able to say, I'm going to wait for God's time and place, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to raise it to the leaders. I'm going to ask them to pray about it. I'm going to ask them for that. But I'm going to be sensitive to what they have to say about the timing and place of my call. Paul, who would become the apostle, at this time Saul, and Barnabas, they were moved by the Holy Spirit, but they waited on a local assembly to also agree that the Holy Spirit had called them to this awesome task. Missionaries are sent out to proclaim. They're sent out messengers, but they are set apart by the local church. They went out. Paul and Barnabas went out. Saul and Barnabas went out. He came back, Paul. They went out and they had a tremendous, fruitful ministry. And if you turn over to Acts 14, in Acts 14, to verse 26, Paul and Barnabas, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived, they gathered the church together. They declared all that God had done with them and how He had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. Paul and Barnabas had the successful first missionary journey. And where did they go? Their first stop back was to the church that had sent them. They came back to report to the local church what God had been doing. Their email account had been down. Their Facebook hadn't been updated, so they had to do it personally. And they came personally to report back to the local assembly. What did they do? They recognized, this is, you know what, you're the local assembly that commissioned us. You're the local assembly that commended us to the grace of God. Yes, it's the Holy Spirit that's been working. Yes, it's been the grace of God that's been working. But you know what, we have a duty to report back to you. God worked through you, and we want to celebrate what God has done. For the work that they had fulfilled, they gathered the church. That's what we do when we get a missionary that's able to come. We gather the church. The missionary, we encourage them to declare what God has done. Not what they or their techniques, but what have you seen God doing? How have you seen God working? How has God opened doors of faith? How have you seen him open things that you wouldn't have been able to do otherwise? And they remained no little time with the disciples. In other words, they stayed a while. Thankfully, part of our mission strategy is when we take on a missionary is to support them most significantly enough that when they come, they don't have to race on to the next place. When I grew up in a church, the goal was how many missionaries could you have? So at $25 a month or $50 a month, the church, how many different ones could you have? Our goal here is how many can we feel like we're rowing with, that we're in ministry with. And we're not just writing a check and saying an occasional prayer. We're with them. And we want to be with them. That's why we so encourage you to participate in those local ministries if you can participate in them. But also when one comes, take some time out, men to meet with them, hear from them, to hear what God is doing and how he might stir that within us and maybe even call. How encouraging to hear. There is a student downstairs that is dying to hear about Egypt. Because he's been studying Egypt, and he wants to hear what God is doing in Egypt. We have a young man that when he got to meet Dan Reichert the other day and hear about China, he just stood there. He wanted to hear more. I want to hear more about China. God has already been working in his heart. Will he ever go to China? I don't know. Will they ever go to Egypt? I don't know. But if God lays it on their heart to, when they hear about it, to pray more earnestly and to seek to be a part, and you can be a part from here. We'll get to that in a minute. What is the task overall of a missionary? Earlier in Acts 14, in verse 19, the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. Having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Recognize that if you're going to serve God, there's going to be adversity. There's going to be people that want to kill you. There's going to be people that want to damage you, to destroy your reputation because of Christ. If you are living to be an authentic representative of Jesus Christ, because they hate Christ, they will also hate you. Jesus told his disciples so. Bank on it. If you're going to live boldly for me, bank that you're going to receive persecution and tribulation. But the disciples gathered about him. He rose up. He entered the city. Was he raised from the dead at that point? Possibly. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. They had preached the gospel to that city. They'd made many disciples. They returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. This is the task of the early missionaries. We don't necessarily support any missionary that's doing all of these, but missionaries that support parts of these. That next slide. Preaching the gospel. Preaching, proclaiming the good news. When somebody responds in trusting faith to the good news, to seek to make them disciples, followers after Jesus Christ, replicating what you have come to know about who he is and what he has taught. Strengthening then the souls of the disciples. It's one thing to start them in the process, to see them birth, to see them begin to take steps, but then to strengthen their souls and encouraging them to continue in the faith, because there's going to be opposition. What a curse in American Christianity, the health and wealth gospel, that if you accept Jesus Christ, add Jesus to your life, and you're going to be driving Mercedes in no time. Everything will be perfect. If you're living a life of obedience and faith, everything will go well. And if anything bad happens, there must be sin in your life. That is not the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ, that he says there will be tribulation and we need to come alongside and we need to encourage. There's going to be adversity. Yes, there's all kinds of blessings. And no matter what happens, there is a blessing of a peace. Whatever happens, a peace and a calm that can go through all kinds of storms. And to strengthen, to encourage. So a missionary is to preach and proclaim the good news. Part of it, the task as well, is to make disciples, but then that those disciples are strengthened and encouraged. And it's somewhere along the line that they get into like-minded New Testament churches. They appointed elders for them in every church. So they began to set up leadership. And so church planting missionaries that help set up churches. The Hansons that are in Thailand helping people know what it is to be a New Testament church and to set up New Testament churches in Thailand, but also into Laos. And then also then committing them to the Lord. In the missionary stream that I was raised in, this was the downside. They never got to the point of being able to say, okay, take it from here. It's one of the great blessings of A&M is they work with native missionaries. Yes, they're helping. They're helping them make disciples. They help strengthen their souls. They help encourage them. But there's no North American possession on that organization. Of setting up elders and turning over that assembly for the Spirit to take and to lead. There's mission organizations that have been in countries for 60, 70 years and never relinquished control. That's not God's goal. That was not the New Testament missionaries. They committed them to the Lord and trusted them. There's not hierarchy. Peter was not the Pope. They committed the local assembly to the Lord and to the leadership of the elders. That's overall the task of missionary work. And in today's society, we have missionaries that specialize usually in a segment of that. But overall, it should be with the goal of all of that coming together. We shouldn't be preaching the gospel and giving birth and leaving infants on the sidewalk. We should be taking spiritual infants and seeing them being discipled. And if we're not geared to do that, we should plug them into where they can be geared to do that. And really, authentic disciples shouldn't be out there wandering alone. You don't have teens raising themselves. You begin to plug them into local assemblies and to local assemblies that are seeking to be New Testament churches. Following the pattern. So disciple making is to make disciples after us. Missions is to hopefully be a part of seeing worldwide New Testament churches replicated. Not just converts, not just disciples, but the replication of New Testament churches. How can we be praying for our missionaries? We have a prayer list out on Wednesday night. We're always looking for more mission team members that can engage and to more knowledgeably pray for our missionaries. But Colossians is a beautiful passage for this. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Make the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. How can you be praying for your missionaries? That God would open a door for the word. This is God's work. There's all kinds of techniques. There's all kinds of things to do. But unless God is in it, there is nothing of lasting spiritual value. Paul sowed, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Pray that God would open doors. That they would boldly declare the mystery of Christ. And that it is a mystery that the natural man can't understand. That within their power they would seek to make it clear in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. That they'd walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Yes, you need to have a love for others, but you also have to have a wisdom for others. Who is it that God wants me to invest myself in to make the best use of time? There's many, many really, really good things you can be doing, but what is the best that God is calling them to do? That their speech would be gracious. Yes, they're representatives of the truth, but they should be full of truth. They should also be full of grace. that their conversation would be gracious and it would be seasoned with salt, whetting the appetite that those that they're ministering to would want to know more, and that they'd know how to answer each person. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 15, and then leave your Bible open to that, we will transition here. Worship team, if you'd like to come on up. In Romans chapter 15, writing to a different local assembly, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers. You say, I know I am not called to leave the 419. I mean, the Holy Spirit has made it certain I will never leave the 419. You're still called to be a part of the great missionary endeavor. You may say, you know what, my prime years are past. I can't go and do missionary work. Strive together. Some churches have people actually latch on to a missionary and to say, this is going to be my family's missionary. If nothing else, I might not pray for any other missionary, but I'm going to pray for this one. I'm going to dive deep into knowing this one. What are their biggest concerns, worries, fears? What is holding them back? And we're going to work hard with them. In this day and age, you can have daily updates if they're up for it. You can have daily updates. You can strive right alongside and take those burdens that they're holding personally, but also for their work, and to strive together in prayer and say, you know what, I can't go to Thailand, but in my heart and in my soul and my mind, I'm working alongside the Hansons. I'm going to be there in prayer. Lord, please protect them from unbelievers. Lord, please, would their service be acceptable? Would it be pleasing to you? Would they be refreshed? Would they experience joy? And here from Toledo, from Holland, wherever you are, you can be a part of God making a difference around the world in sharing the good news. I praise God for how He has worked in this assembly on this function. It seems to be one of the strongest functions. It's not all that God has called us to, but it is very important. Dear Heavenly Father, by your power, by your guidance of your Holy Spirit, would you help us to not rest at where you have brought us, but in dependence, seek what more you want us to do. And Lord, I just pray even for those young lives downstairs and those in the hearing of your word right now, that by the moving of your Holy Spirit, if you're prompting them to leave the comforts of the known, that they wouldn't latch on, but they would seek to follow after you. And Lord, help us to be the kind of assembly that would be looking to identify, to join in prayer, to encourage and support what you're doing. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.